الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال تعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Respected ulama, my dear brothers and sisters, I don't see any sisters but I assume they are somewhere. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Malana for the beautiful welcome that he gave me and my other brothers and my esteemed Ustad, Professor Malana Salman Nadwi, Dawud Barakatuh, who is also here with us. We thank you, Jazakumullah Khair. It's my first visit to Port Shepstone. And as you said you hope that we will feel at home. I think we are already feeling at home. Alhamdulillah. This is the beauty of the Muslims and this is the beauty of being a Muslim. I remember many years ago, I think it was 1997, I was in the UK and I was going in Jamaat, and I asked a friend of mine who had no connection with Tabligh, but very good friend and also a Muslim, alhamdulillah, but no connection with Tabligh. So I asked him, I said, can you drop me to Dewsbury, to the Marcus? So he said, sure. So he took me to Dewsbury. As I got out of the car, somebody came and took my bag and you know, the usual. So he said to me, you told me to drop you here and you said you don't know anybody, but you know everybody here. So I said, no, I don't know anybody. He said, what do you mean you don't know anybody? People are welcoming you, somebody is taking your bag, somebody is doing this, somebody is doing that, and you say you don't know anyone. I said, I don't know anyone. The guy who took my bag is a stranger. The person who welcomed me is a stranger. The person who hugged me is a stranger. I went and sat in the tashkil room, and the person who was in charge of tashkil there, he put his hand behind his back and he pulled out a plastic box which had some gajar ka halwa in it, and he said, please have some. So I said, alhamdulillah, this is good. And this is the nature of Islam. So the person was very surprised. How is it? But it's not surprising. Is it surprising? I mean, you know, it should not be surprising. I mean, a Muslim comes to a place and there are other Muslims, so he should be welcomed. I mean, this is our culture. This is not our Gujarati culture. It's not our Indian culture. This is not our Pakistani culture. This is not our Somalian culture. This is not our Sudani culture. This is the culture of Islam and Muslims globally. And if it does not happen in some place, then we seriously have to ask ourselves this question and say, really, are we Muslims in the spirit of Islam as it is supposed to be? Now, I have never experienced that. Alhamdulillah, wherever I go, I travel all over the world. And so I always have this welcome. And I'm saying, supposing you do go to some place and you find that there are Muslims, but you know, people are treating you like a stranger, nobody makes salam, nobody greets you, nobody asks you anything, then there's a serious issue there. You have to ask yourself this question and say, well, you know, are we really Muslims in the spirit of Islam as we should be? And the reason I'm saying this is because this is also how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu defined this ummah. This is the definition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala define this ummah? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention as the unifying point of this ummah? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say with respect to this ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this ayat of, you know, from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily this ummat of yours, ummatan wahida, is one ummah. Wa ana rabbukum, and I am your Rabb, fa'budun. Therefore, worship me. وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. And in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned exactly the same ayah with all the same words except the last word. where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fattaqun. Verily this ummah of yours is one ummah and I am your Rabb, so have taqwa of me. My brothers and elders, I remind myself and you, see the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon the ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascribed His own relationship with us as our Rabb Jalla Jalalu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said this is one ummah in many different ways. This is, you are one ummah because you follow one religion, you are one ummah because of this, that. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are one ummah, ummatan wahidan, wa ana rabbukum. And I am your Rabb, Jalla Jalalu. So what is this message that we are getting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu with respect to who we are? The message that we are getting is that we are one. Whether we have differences with regard to our nationality, whether we have differences with regard to our locality, whether we have differences with regard to our race, our color, the food we eat, the culture that we come from, whichever home country we call a home country, I mean all of you are, your home country is South Africa. No matter what, including differences of opinion, including differences of belief, except for the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this again is not some fatwa I am giving you. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said. Somebody asked him, they said, Ya Rasulullah, who is a Muslim? He said, the one who said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, the one who worships in the direction of the Kaaba and he eats what we slaughter. Three conditions. The one who said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Please notice, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say, the one who genuinely, sincerely, with ikhlas, believes in the kalma. He didn't say this. Why did he not say that? Because you don't know that, I don't know that. If I say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you have heard me, you can bear witness that I said the kalima, right? But do I really believe in the kalima in my heart? Can you say that? You don't know. Inshallah, I do, and I, alhamdulillah, I do this, but I'm just saying that if somebody says to Malana, can you guarantee absolutely that he has this kalima inside his heart? Can you say yes? Nobody can say that. Except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one knows. And that's why Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us directions about things that we can see. So he said, the one who said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, the one who worships in the direction of the Kaaba, which means that he is praying his salah and he is praying in the direction that we pray. And the one who eats what we slaughter. This person is a Muslim. Is he a good Muslim? Is he a bad Muslim? We don't know. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not tell us. You go and judge that. And then you go and tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so-and-so is a good Muslim, so-and-so is a bad Muslim. Allah, he didn't say this. Whether he is a good Muslim, whether he is a bad Muslim, whether Allah will forgive him, whether Allah will punish him, this is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ana Rabbukum. I am your Rabb. That is not for us to sit in judgment on and decide. What do we see? Is somebody my brother as a Muslim? All people, all human beings are brothers in humanity. This also is from Islam. Yes? Qul a'udhu bi rabbin. What is the ayah? Qul a'udhu bi rabbin. Nas. Not Qul a'udhu bi rabbil muslimin. Is it the ayah Qul a'udhu bi rabbil muslimin? No. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Who is nas? Are Christians nas? Do they come in an-nas? Yes or no? Do the Sikhs come in an-nas? Do the Hindus come in an-nas? Do the atheists come in an-nas? Do the Shia come in an-nas? Hal Sanafi, Salafi, Hanafi, Shafi, Hanbali, Maliki, all of these are nas or no? Yes, an-nas is human beings. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Malikin nas. Ilahin nas. Allah is the ilah of the nas, whether or not they worship him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu is the ilah is an incontrovertible fact. The ones who choose to worship him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep us till our last breath among those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. The one who choose to worship him are acknowledging this fact. The one who chooses not to worship him, or who worship others than Allah, or who worship Allah but they join partners with Allah, this is their wabal ajan, this is their sin, this is on their heads. But this does not change the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is the only one who is worthy of worship, and no one is worthy of worship except Allah. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, malikin nas, ilahin nas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala associated himself. Therefore, in terms of brotherhood of humanity, we are all brothers. Everybody is a brother. Why is it important to think about that? Why is it important to consider this? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu sent you and me for a reason to this world. What is that reason? What is the primary reason why we came into this world? Two, one personal, one collective. What is the personal reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us? Bolo bhai. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Personal reason. Allah created us to worship him. Allah did not create us to do anything else. Whatever else we are doing, alhamdulillah, all halal, jais, no problem. But that is not the primary reason for our creation. Allah did not create me to make this speech. Allah did not create me to make this speech, to run my business. No. Allah created me to worship him. Allah created you to worship him. So personal reason. And what is the associated reason collectively with that? كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. Collective reason, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Collective reason, take this message to the rest of the world. Take the message to the rest of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to worship him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to introduce Allah to the rest of creation. How can you do that if you do not make friends with people? How can you do that if you do not welcome people? How can you do that if you do not have any communication with people? Can you take any message, whatever it is? In sales, most of you are in sales. I teach management. In sales, we have a quote. We say, you can only sell to friends. In sales, we say this. You can only sell to friends. You can't sell to enemies. Right? If I'm selling something and if you dislike me, you hate my face, and I come to you and say, buy this, will you buy it? You will say, get out of this place first. I don't want to see your face. I hate your face. Whatever the reason, I don't want even to see your face. No way will I buy. Even if you give me the thing for free, I don't want it. Yes? I mean, this is human nature, right? I mean, if you hate somebody, if you dislike somebody, you are not going to take anything from that person. So you can only sell to friends. So who can you give dawah to? To friends. You cannot give dawah to enemies. I mean, the enemy doesn't even want to look at you. How will you give dawah to him? You can only give dawah to friends. So therefore, to consider all of humanity as our brothers, to build relationship with them, this is the foundation and fundamental of dawah. Take the example of agriculture. I am sitting in an agricultural town. So let me give you an agricultural example. What do you do if somebody gives you a piece of land and says, this piece of land is yours, go cultivate the land? What is the first thing that you will do if you want to cultivate the land? What is the first thing? Bolo. Plow the land. You will prepare the land. You plow the land, you remove the stones, if there is any weeds and so on, and thorns and whatnot, you pull those out. You go and take the pH value of the land. Is it more acidic? Is it more alkaline or whatnot? You change the consistency of the soil. You have to put lime. You have to fertilize it. Whatnot, you prepare the land. Yes or no? Then what do you do? What's the next step? Plant the seeds. Yes? You plant the seeds. And then the third step? Yes? Three steps must be taken in that order, and if you leave out any one of them, you will not get a crop. Somebody gives you the best, absolutely the best seeds in the world, and you take them and you just chuck them on the ground. Will they sprout? Will you get a crop? No way. Even if it germinates, it will die.
You prepare the land beautifully, but you've got lousy seeds. You've got seeds which are really worthless. Again, you will not get a crop. You prepare the land beautifully. You have the best seeds. You plant them very well, but you do not water those seeds. Again, gone. Again, there's no crop. Even though land was prepared, even though seed was good. Take this example to the work of Dawa. What is the preparation of the land? Making friends, bringing hearts together, removing differences. There was a very famous incident of Maulana Ilyas Kandlavi Rahmatullah Ali. There was one of his, one of the people who was, you know, in today's language we would say one of his fans, was a big businessman in Lahore. So he said to Maulana, he said, I would like to come to Nizamuddin. Maulana said, please, most welcome. He came. Now this guy, we are talking about pre-partition India. So this man was a very wealthy businessman from Lahore. And he was, like we say, Angrez tha. Yeah, he wasn't a white man, but he was, you understand what I'm saying, right? So dadi wadi goin, I mean, all, I don't like to use the word clean shaven because there's nothing clean about shaving. The sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is from your face. So don't use the term, it's a bad term. So, but he was shaven and suit, boot, everything. Now he comes to Nizamuddin. Now you can imagine the situation. Right? He comes to Nizamuddin. Now the man is there. So now, but he's a personal guest of Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah. Now what do people see? The people see the next morning, on the order of Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, a barber is called to the masjid, to the Banglewali Masjid, which is Nizamuddin. The barber comes, the chair is placed outside, this man goes and sits there and the barber shaves his face. Right? Hamare paas Hindustan mein pehle you never shaved your face, somebody else came and did it for you. Now people are shocked. You know, daadi mudana alag cheez hai. Shaving your beard is one thing, shaving it in the masjid is something else. That also the barber is called for that purpose. But who is going to go and tell Maulana Ilyas? So, sab kamush. But nobody says anything. But this is happening. People are shocked. What is going on? One day passes. Second day, again in the morning, same story. Chair is placed. Barber comes, shaves his face. Third day, same thing happens. Fourth day, same thing happens. Chair is placed. Barber comes. The man says to the barber, no need, go away. No need to shave, to go away, and no need to come again. This is the essence of Dawa. But Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali never said to the man one word to say you should keep your beard. He never said anything. You shave, no problem, please come. You are my guest. After doing that for 3 days, the fourth day, the man himself understood this is not something to be done. He kept his beard. Make friends. Join hearts. You cannot do the work of Dawa if you do not join hearts. Somebody came to Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah and they said to him, they objected to him. They told him, what kind of people come into Tabligh? You know, this is some fellow from somewhere, some fellow is a drunkard, is a drug addict, and this one and that one, and all kinds of people. Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah said, what kind of clothes go to the dhobi? What kind of clothes go to the washerman? Not clean clothes. If the washerman, if you are running a laundry company and you say, I will not take any dirty clothes, then you have no business. I have a laundry shop, and I say, no, I will not take any dirty clothes. Then your business is gone, shut. We are here to take dirty clothes. That is the work of Dawa, to take dirty clothes. Three steps, bring the hearts together, preparation of the land. Seeds, alhamdulillah, we have the best seeds. The Kitab of Allah and the Sunnah of His Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This we don't have to invent. Alhamdulillah, we have both. Best seeds. And then the last point, watering. What is that watering? It is standing in the night and crying tears before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. Many of us, may Allah protect us, we are very good at giving bayans. It feels nice, no? You sit here, a lot of people sitting there listening to you. May Allah protect us from riya. May Allah protect us from ruining our ikhlas by saying something because of the majma. Shah Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah Ali, the son of Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali, one day in Delhi, in Jama Masjid, he gave a lecture. So, Allah knows how many thousand people. In those days, no microphones and so on and so on. So, the lecture was relayed. Lecture finished, maybe hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. I'm not going to talk for 2 hours, don't worry. But those days, lecture finished, everybody went home. Shah Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah Ali is sitting in his room and some of his muridin with him. When a man comes, some villager, nobody knows who he is, some man looks like a poor man. He comes running and he says salam, and then he says, "Ya Sheikh, I came from this village, some village in UP. He says, "I came long distance, I had to come, I came all this way, but now by the time I reached here, lecture is over. I only came for this, I only came to listen to you, but I got delayed, I had a very difficult journey, by the time I got here now, lecture is over, now my whole trip has been wasted, my journey is wasted." So Shah Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah said to him, "Please sit down, sit here." He sat down, he stood up, and he delivered that entire lecture which he had given before, that same 1.5 to 2 hours, he gave that whole lecture to that one man. Some of his muridin were sitting there, just that one man alone, he gave the entire lecture in the same way, same passion, same dalail, same tilawat of Quran or whatever it was. The man listened, the man was overwhelmed, he gave him a lot of dua, he thanked him and so on and so forth, and he went home. But the muridin, they said to him, they were shocked and surprised. And they said to their sheikh, they said, "Ya Sheikh, 10,000 people were here, Allah knows how many thousand people, you gave this lecture, so much passion, everything else. Then this one man comes, who is this man? We don't even know who the man is, some fellow from somewhere. And you gave the same lecture to that man with the same passion, same everything. How is it possible? How is this possible?" Shah Abdul Rahmatullah said to them, he said, "I'm sorry that you have spent so much time with me, but you have not understood the basics of Islam." He said, "Why are you surprised? When I was speaking to thousands of people, I was speaking to please only one. And when I was speaking to that one man, I was still trying to please the same one." When I was speaking to thousands of people, I was trying to please one. And when I was speaking to the one man, I was still trying to please the same one. Who is that one? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. He said, "What is this? It doesn't matter to me. 10 people, 100 people, 10,000 people." So may Allah give us ikhlas in our work, inshallah. So three processes. Bring the hearts together. Preparation of the soil. Seeds, which is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the crying in the night. Crying in the night. This is how the work of Islam was done by the Anbiya alayhimu salam. This is how it was done by our akabirin. This is how it is done by the people who understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have ta'alluq with Allah. Ana rabbukum fa'budun. I am your Rabb, so worship me. Draw hearts together, don't create divisions. How can we do that? We can do that by building our own ta'alluq with Allah. This word, ana rabbukum, this statement, this two words, what do they do to the heart? Unless we have this ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot work in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to work. How do you build this ta'alluq with Allah? How do you build the ta'alluq with anybody? Ta'ala Allahu al-amthal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is buland and balatar and above any amthal, any misal we give, any example we give. But we build a ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same way that we build ta'alluq with any other person, which is by spending time with Him, by communicating,
by knowing more about him, by learning and understanding more about him. This is what we do even when we want to build a friendship with somebody. You spend time with them, you communicate with them, you do that. How do we do that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? First, we must know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, Jalla Jalalu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself. And nobody can introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu better than he introduced himself. And how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduce himself? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the effect that should happen on our hearts when we listen to him and listen to his introductions. And he mentioned this in the form of an example where he said, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصديا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. Allah said, if this kalam was sent on a mountain, the mountain would humble itself. Min khashyatillah, by the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we give these examples to human beings so that they can reflect. La allahum yatafakkarun. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again introduced himself. Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa hu, alimul ghaybi wa shahada, huwa ar-Rahmanur Rahim. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself by means of reminding us of his ni'mat, of his blessings. Of them, the best and the most glorious of them is his kalam itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون تنزيل من رب العالمين أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون. Allah called himself the teacher of the Quran, where he said, Ar-Rahmanu allama al-Quran, khalaqa al-insan, allamahu al-bayan, ash-shamsu wal-qamaru bi-husban, wal-najmu wal-shajaru yasjudan, والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان Allah tatghaw fil mizan وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان والأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام والحب ذو العصف والريحان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked a question. Which of the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will you deny? فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. You know all of these ayat which I have recited, so I'm not translating. But what is the answer to the question? The reason a question is asked is not so that you can repeat the question again and again and again. If you ask somebody a question and the person repeats the question, does it answer the question? It does not answer. There is a question. I am asking you a question. Who is the mayor of this town? And you tell me, who is the mayor of this town? Who is the mayor of this town? Who is the mayor of this? That's crazy. I am asking you a question. Who is the mayor of this town? So give me an answer. Don't keep repeating my question to me again and again. Allah asked a question. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates in a hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this entire Surah Ar-Rahman before the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. My brothers and sisters, whenever I say this, please understand and put yourself into that situation. Don't just listen to this. The story is not for the sake of the story. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reciting the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. Who can recite the kalam of Allah better than the one who received the kalam? Who can recite the kitab of Allah better than the sahibul kitab? Who can recite the wahi of Allah better than the sahibul wahi? Who knows Ar-Rahman better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ar-Rahmanu allama al-Qur'an, who knows that Ar-Rahman better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is happening to the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he is saying Ar-Rahmanu allama al-Qur'an? Put yourself in that situation. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the entire surah before the Sahaba. The Sahaba listened in complete silence. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam finished, there is silence in the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, he said, are you not going to say anything? Are you not going to say anything? They said, Ya Rasulullah, what do you want us to say? My brothers, elders, there is one thing that I envy the Sahaba. I am jealous of the Sahaba. And this is jais jealousy. I envy the Sahaba. And that is the fact that they heard the kalam of Allah. Bisawtil qari ismuhu Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. They heard the kalam of Allah in the voice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I make dua, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather all of us, Insha'Allah al-Musta'an, with all our mutalliqin in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Enter us there bighayri hisab, insha'Allah. And then cause us to listen to the kalam of Allah in the voice of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is my dua. So Abu Hurairah said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the whole surah. And then he said, are you not going to say anything? The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what do you want us to say? What do you want us to say? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when I recited this surah before the jinn, every time I said, Fabi ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadhiban, they replied and they said, La bi shayyin min ni'mati rabbina nukadhibu. La bi shayyin min ni'mati rabbina nukadhibu. La bi shayyin min ni'mati rabbina nukadhibu. They said, oh our Rabb, we do not deny any of your ni'mat. Oh, our Rabb, we do not deny any of your ni'mat. A question is asked, an answer is given. The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and elders, is a living kalam. It is not some mantra to be recited. It is a living kalam. It is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. If Allah asks a question, we have to answer this question. Respond to the kalam of Allah. We are coming into the month of Ramadan, the month of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned the ayat of Surah Al-Waqiyah, which I recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before he mentioned the Quran, Allah took the qasam of mawaqi'i nujum, of the great constellations and stars which Allah has created. Wallahu alam what Allah means by this mawaqi'i nujum. But the Mufassirin tell us this refers to the great constellations and the stars. Allah took a qasam of this. And he said, this is Al-Quran Al-Kareem, sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen. This is our zakhira. This is our resource. This is our treasure. The kalam of Allah, the kitab of Allah, and the sunnah of his Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is our job, to take this to the rest of mankind. And that is the reason why we need to bring hearts together. And to do that, we have to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And as I mentioned to you, Allah introduced himself by his great glorious names and his attributes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced by mentioning his ni'mat. There are many more ayat in the Quran. I don't want to spend more time reciting them. But my point is, let us think and let us reflect. Let us learn to know our Rabb and let us connect with our Rabb. What is the time to do that? In tahajjud qiyamul layl. Where we know from the hadith where Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the first heaven in a manner that pleases His grace and majesty. And an announcement is made to say, who is it that needs anything from Allah? Let him ask. Allah will give. Who is it that needs the protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let him ask and Allah will protect him. Let not a day pass when we are not standing there, when we are not in sujood, when we are not saying, when the announcement is made, who is there? Let not a day pass where you say, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. Ya Rab, I am here. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi is standing up for salah, for tahajjud. See the people who had ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi is standing for tahajjud. Before he starts his salah, he says, Ya Rabbal Alameen. He said, Ya Rabbal Alameen. The whole world is sleeping. Even the stars have gone to sleep. There are only two who are awake. You on your arsh and me here. Don't get literal about this and say, well, you know, in Australia it was midday or something. No. Issue is the taluk of the abd and the rab. Allah ka uske bande ke saath jo taluk hai aur bande ka Allah ke jo taluk hai uski baat ho rahi. Allah se baat karo bhai. Talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Samiul Alim, right? Allah sunte hai ki nahi sunte? To baat karne mein kya problem hai? Talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell Allah your story. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi was going somewhere. Allah, I tell you, may Allah put the love of his awliya in our hearts. Hasan al-Basri is one man. I really wish I one day I meet him, inshallah. Ajib waqiat Hasan al-Basri. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah is walking in the street one day. He oversees a conversation. One man is talking to another man. He's complaining about him, about himself. He says, my life is this difficulty, that difficulty. I'm having this and that. He stops. He tells the man, why are you complaining about Ar-Rahman to someone who has no Rahman? He said, why are you complaining about Ar-Rahman to someone who has no Rahman? He said, what can this man do for you? What can this man do for you? Are jo bolna Allah ko bolna bhai. Tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this. Whatever you want to tell him, tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows. But you tell him, Allah likes. Allah is the only one who likes those who ask. Believe me, this is the reality of life. Allah is the only one who likes those who ask. If you don't believe me, try it. Your own children, your own parents, your own wives, husband, whoever. Go ask them once, ask them twice, ask them three times. Fourth time he will run away or he will make some excuse. Allah is the only one who likes those who ask. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
My brothers and elders, Jazakumullahu khairan for making me welcome in this place. May Allah bless you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill your lives with His noor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use you as the means of bringing the hearts of people together. Make this niyyah. If you don't feel close to somebody, make tawbah now to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make this niyyah to say, I will go and meet that particular person, my brother, whoever it was that I did not like till today. I will go and meet him and say salam and say whatever it was, let us clear our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you the means of bringing the hearts of the Muslims together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use you as the adhesive, as the sticking thing to bring people's hearts together and to connect people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to pray tahajjud every single day till the last day of your life. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when your time comes to take you in that stage in sujood, in tahajjud, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your du'as, those you make, and then I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you from His mercy and grace those things which you did not even ask. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove all your difficulties. Anyone who is sick, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure that person, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a shafi. What the doctor said or did not say, Allah is not subject to that. Allah's khudrat is beyond all of that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure whoever is sick by His khudrat, to show His power and grace. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do anyone who is in debt, to settle your debts from His treasures. Anyone who is involved in interest, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove that from your lives and to make your rizq halal. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your lives with barakah, to protect yourselves and your children from all evil influences in the world, and to make you da'wat of Islam, and to make you walking, talking models of the life of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.